right, time now is 6 o'clock. This is WHUS 91.7 FM, Storrs, Connecticut, radio for the people. Now it's time for jazz. This is In the Groove, Jazz and Beyond. My name's Ken, and we're doing a North Sea Jazz Festival recap show today. Claire and I just came back from a great week over at the North Sea Jazz Fest, and we're going to go through all the great happenings there, and wanted to mention we also spent some time in Amsterdam, which was a lot of fun, and I needed to give a shout-out to our friend Dave from Boston, who we just happened to meet up there in a jazz club in Amsterdam. So that was a lot of fun, and again, also I wanted to give a shout-out to Derek and Abby, who contacted us while we were there, and they're Amsterdam transplants, let's say, and they offered to give us a boat tour on the canals, which was one of the highlights of our trip. So I definitely want to give a shout out to Derek and Abby and a big thank you for the great time they gave us while we were there. We spent 4 days over at Amsterdam and then headed down to South Holland, where the North Sea Jazz Festival was going on. 3 great days of jazz music in a setting that was unbelievable, just a huge venue that contained 12 stages, and these were not small stages, they were big stages, and they packed that place. Maybe 50,000 or so people were there enjoying all of the great performances going on, and I want to go through things that we saw and other things that were going on at the North Sea Jazz Festival. We started out on Friday, July 6th, with the seeing Joshua Redman and the Metropole Orchestra. Very orchestrated type of sound. Not a lot of room for Joshua Redman to, you know, do a lot of improvisation or to really stretch out, but it was very nice. They also had some guest artists such as Luciano Sousa and Lillian Vieira, who added their beautiful singing voices to the orchestra and Joshua Redman's playing. So that was great. From there, we went to the kind of the next auditorium, another large auditorium. And there we saw McCoy Tyner Trio along with Ravi Coltrane. And they put on a great show. What I've got queued up to play for you is actually something from an older McCoy Tyner album. But I think it kind of expresses the fire and the intensity that the McCoy Tyner Trio and Ravi Coltrane displayed at the concert. So let's listen to some McCoy Tyner from Song for My Lady. McCoy Tyner from his album Song for My Lady. We heard the title track from that one, featuring McCoy Tyner on piano, Sonny Fortune on alto sax, Calvin Hill on bass, Alphonse Mouzon on drums, recorded back in 1973, when McCoy Tyner had a lot more piano chops. Unfortunately, as he got old, I think he lost some of that quickness in his right hand, but he still plays that kind of pounding, syncopated left hand, those chords that he plays that gives his music such intensity. Playing with Ravi Coltrane, it was a great quartet they had. They started out this set playing Fly With The Wind, I believe, was the first track they played. And then after that, we saw Ravi like walk over to McCoy Tyner, and they talked a little bit, and then they played Mr. PC, the John Coltrane composition. So it was great hearing Ravi Coltrane play that in a more modern McCoy Tyner kind of sound. So that was great. After that, we actually stepped out of the of that concert and tried to get a little bit of a listen to Van Morrison, who was playing in just a huge auditorium. They called it the Nile. I guess it's some large concert hall for big rock concerts or something. Basically, an open floor with seating around the sides. I don't know how many people it could have held, but it was just overflowing with people. You couldn't even get close. But we listened to it and watched it on the monitor, and looked like Van Morrison was putting on a great show, kind of an R&B thing. He had a horn section with him, and I actually saw he was playing the tenor or alto saxophone. I'm not sure which one, but he was playing the saxophone, which was surprising. So we didn't get to hear much of that, but it was kind of interesting what we heard. Next up, saw the Uri Kane Trio. I don't really have anything to play for the Uri Kane Trio, but that was kind of a freeform, avant-garde kind of set. Very modern sound. Uri Kane, a great piano player and composer. John Hebert on bass and Clarence Penn on drums, I think. The next thing we saw after that was Joe Lovano with Dave Douglas Quintet. And that was a great set. Joe Lovano, Dave Douglas, both great artists, great soloists, great composers. So what I've got to play here just came into the studio. We just got this, haven't had much of a chance to hear it. Dave Douglas released an album from back in 1995. The album was called Magic Triangle, and it features Dave Douglas and Chris Potter. So maybe you'll get that same interplay between Dave Douglas on trumpet and Joe Lovano that on tenor sax that we heard. This, though, is Dave Douglas and Chris Potter, along with James Genus and Ben Perowski. The album is Magic Triangle. We're going to hear the track called Every Man. We'll be right back.
Histories and our histories inhabit us. A prison system with 2.4 million people behind bars is a terrible specter of slavery. And if indeed we can say that slavery was abolished, we cannot deny that it still haunts us. The challenges of the past are challenges of the present and challenges of the future. Poverty, racism, xenophobia, homophobia, freedom itself, it's constantly transforming. Echoes of the past and reverberations of the future.
My screams of freedom will flow the air. poverty of our rich land, the unrelenting beat of ignorance in the streets, and children growing up with no tools to defeat the echoes of the past. Nothing but the echoes of the past. Nothing but
Terry Lynn Carrington and the Mosaic Project with Echoes. And that was the group that was the last show we saw on Friday, the first day of the North Sea Jazz Festival. And Terry Lynn had with her at the time Diana Reeves, who you heard there on vocals as well. Teneke Postuma, a Netherlands native who plays quite a bit with Terry Lynn Carrington. She was on saxophone, as well as Tia Fuller. They had Nir Felder on guitar, Helen Sung on piano, Joshua Brzozowski on bass, and Terry Lynn Carrington on drums. And on that track, you heard the introduction, Angela Davis on recording, and they played that as well as they played this number. And then Diana Reeves came on stage and killed it, as you would expect, with Terry Lynn Carrington. We were pretty tired at that point, so after a couple numbers there, we decided to head back to our hotel room. We had a long day of traveling and recuperating from our 4 days in Amsterdam, where we did a lot of partying and staying out late. So we left before that last act was concluded. Also playing at the same time was the Fellowship Band featuring Brian Blade. And the big act for the day, although not of much interest to myself or Claire, I don't think, Lenny Kravitz concluded that day at the North Sea Jazz Festival. So that was it, day one. I think we did pretty good. We caught most of the acts that we wanted to see. We missed a couple, perhaps James Carter Organ Trio. You know, John Scofield played. We didn't get to see that, but we caught most of the acts that we wanted to see on day one. Day two, we started out bright and early in the morning, like 3 p.m. or something, I guess. We headed down to the North Sea Jazz Festival to the Ahoy, was the name of the venue. And first artist that we saw was the great Ahmad Jamal. So let's listen to Ahmad Jamal right now. Thank you. background, Ahmad Jamal from the album Magic. We're listening to Wild Is the Wind. I'm going to keep that playing in the background while I finish up my mic break here. Let's see, from there, what did we do? We actually missed James Farm, and which I wanted to see Joshua Redman's group, Joshua Redman being the artist in residence, but we had to skip that one. We missed people like Rodrigo and Gabriella and Esperanza Spalding and others. What we did see was an interesting group featuring an artist we had never heard before named Miles Okazaki. And he had a very good group. Let's see, with Miles, he's a guitarist, and he was playing at a smaller stage called the Madeira. In his group was Mark Turner on tenor saxophone, Francois Mouton on double bass, and Dan Weiss on drums. And as I said, Miles Okazaki on guitar. Very interesting set that they did. So we heard some of that before we entered into our next stage, which is one that we actually paid. They call it a plus concert. You had to pay a little more for this one. But it was Pat Metheny, and he put on just a great show. Really one of the highlights of the three-day festival for sure, maybe the highlight. One of the things he did was he utilized that orchestrion setup that he has, which is a set of kind of mechanical instruments, calliope type of things that are pre-programmed. So I want to play a track from Pat Metheny's latest album, which also features Chris Potter. And this one is called Signals Orchestrion Sketch. Pat Metheny from his latest release with the Unity Band. Unity Band is Pat Metheny on guitar, Chris Potter on sax, Antonio Sanchez on drums, and Ben Williams on bass. And that one was called Sketches. And it also featured the Orchestrion mechanical instruments, mechanical drums and flutes and unidentifiable things, pipes and all kinds of stuff. So, and he triggered those on stage with foot pedals, I believe, and at times even played a riff on his guitar, and that in turn got magically transitioned to one of these mechanical instruments. It was quite interesting and quite a great song and a great set by the Unity Band. From there, we ducked out of that concert and got a listen of a little bit of Dave Holland with a kind of, I think, a very unique band for Dave Holland. It included Kevin Eubanks on guitar, Craig Taborn on keyboards, and Eric Harland on drums. And it was kind of a Mahavishnu Orchestra kind of sound that he was doing, with Kevin Eubanks and Eric Harland doing that trading off stuff, guitar and drums, the way Mahavishnu and Billy Cobham used to do, and Craig Taborn even sounding a little bit like Jan Hammer. And it was very interesting, different sound for Dave Holland. We saw that for a few numbers before we left there to head over to hear Reza Basse's Invocation Band. And we had great seats for that. We had like second row seats and got some good pictures and listened to that up close and personal. So I want to play a little bit of Reza Basse from his album called Suno Suno with his Invocation Band. Mezabasi, his Invocation Band from the album Suno Suno. We heard the track called Thanks for Giving, playing in the background. And Rezabasi's group is Rez on guitar, Vijay Iyer on piano, Rudresh Mahanthappa on tenor, on sax, Johannes Wiedemüller on bass, and Dan Weiss on drums. Great combo. So, after Rezabasi's group, we kind of missed some stuff maybe that we wanted to hear, like George Benson, Taj Mahal, Esperanza Spalding, as I said. Gretchen Parlato, we tried to get into that, but you couldn't get near it. She was playing in a very small room, actually. So the next thing we saw was kind of an interesting set. This is the Axis Jazz, the Axis Sax Quartet, led by Joshua Redman. And I recorded this. I recorded almost all the groups, but unfortunately, most of them are not really quality for broadcast, so I'm not playing them. But a couple of them I think I'll play, and one of them is this quartet, this jazz sax quartet featuring Joshua Redman on soprano sax, Chris Potter on tenor, Mark Turner on alto, and Chris Cheeks on baritone. I think you'll find this interesting. This is called, I don't know what the name of it is, but it's the Axis Sax Quartet.
Thank you.
Joshua Redman led that sax quartet called the Axis Quartet, as I said, featuring Joshua Redman on soprano sax doing a solo there, really reaching the upper registers. And that was followed by a Chris Potter solo, fine solo by Chris Potter. All right, let's see. Moving on from there. Let's see. We ended the day by seeing Christian Scott. And he did a good set and definitely talked a lot about New Orleans, and his music is kind of politically oriented, and he had a lot of commentary along with his music. But that's what we did to end Saturday, July 7th at the North Sea Jazz Festival. And Sunday morning, we were there bright and early. I meant to see Joshua Redman and the Bad Plus. It would have been an interesting combination, but I messed up on the schedule and we missed that one. But we did see something interesting, the Suriname Music Ensemble, which played some African world music, but it featured Benny Maupin, the great Benny Maupin, the saxophone player, tenor sax, and bass clarinet player from back in the Miles Bitches Brew days, and also Herbie Hancock, his Headhunters, the early Headhunters, had Benny Maupin in it as well. And let's see, from there, we saw something very interesting. This is Norwegian player. His name is Marius Nasit. A surprise. We wanted to see some artists who we hadn't heard before, perhaps popular in Europe, but haven't yet reached the U.S. And this was one of them, and he was quite a surprise. Really one of the best shows that we saw there. So this is Marius Nasit and the Golden Explosion. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Darius Nasset and the Golden Explosion. We heard the track Golden Explosion. Start out with an introduction, a sax solo. And they performed that all acoustic. As you heard in that last set, it was a lot of electronics going on there. But when we heard it, it was just strictly acoustic. And one of the most energetic and frenetic performances that we saw during the festival. But I really dug it. And that album is excellent. I'm going to be playing a lot more of that in the coming weeks. Marius Nasset. I believe he's from Norway. It sounded like he was introducing all of his music in German when on stage, but I think he's from Norway. So I forgot to mention, before we went to the Marius performance, we saw a really interesting Miles Davis feature called Miles Smiles. And that one was led by Wallace Roney, as he often does Miles tributes. Along with Wallace was Joey DeFrancesco on organ and keyboards, Robin Ford on guitar, and he was just tearing it up. Robin Ford was, as was Omar Hakim on drums. Great, great drummer. Darryl Jones came in late for the performance, but kind of stepped in during the second song, and a great bass player as well. And then it was Rick Margitza on tenor sax. So that was great. Then we saw Marius Nasset. And next up was Wayne Shorter, another highlight of the festival. I really dug what Wayne Shorter had to say on stage. And I recorded that. I hope this came out well or good enough to play here on WHUS over the airways. But I recorded some of Wayne Shorter's music that he performed along with his quartet, also featuring, let's see if I can get that, Wayne Shorter had with him Danilo Perez on piano, John Patitucci on bass, who was in his usual quartet, and Jorge Rossi on drums. And I'm going to play something that I recorded live at the North Sea Jazz Festival. This is Wayne Shorter. Thank you. Wayne Shorter. That last one you heard was from his album Allegra, and you heard the track called Capricorn 2. And before that, we heard Wayne Shorter as I recorded it live from the North Sea Jazz Festival. I'll just have to call that one Untitled because I don't know what it was. He didn't really announce it. If you've ever been to any of the concerts by Wayne Shorter, he kind of just goes and just plays like straight through. Not much said except on the tenor saxophone and soprano sax, and definitely the piano and the bass and the drums as well. Wayne Shorter, one of the great highlights of the North Sea Jazz Festival for me anyway. So it was getting late in the day on the final day of the festival, and the last thing we heard was Archie Shepp, the great Archie Shepp, played with John Coltrane in some of John Coltrane's final albums when he was reaching out there into a lot of the avant-garde space. But Archie Shepp kind of played a very interesting set. He played mostly standards. He did some singing, and he'd play them straight, but when he went to doing his solos, he had that Archie Shepp sound, kind of that wailing, honking kind of sound that he does, and it was very reminiscent of John Coltrane when, as I said, John Coltrane was in that stage of his artistic development. And I really enjoyed what we heard of the Archie Shepp concert. What I've got queued up here, there was nothing I could find in our CD collection or our MP3 selection that kind of mirrored what he played there. But one of his greatest albums called Four for Train, where he does four John Coltrane compositions. And this one in particular I like. And the soloing sounds like the soloing we heard last week at the North Sea Jazz Festival. But this is him playing Saida's Song Flute. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Archie Shepp, who you just heard, that was the last performance we saw at the North Sea Jazz Festival. Three great nights of jazz. Usually start about 4 in the afternoon and ended somewhere around 1:30 in the morning. We enjoyed every bit of it. As I looked through all of the acts that were there and the ones we missed, it would have been a pretty good festival just if you took some of the artists that we didn't even get a chance to see. It's basically impossible to see everyone the way they had things stacked up with 12 different stages going simultaneously. We missed people like Robert Glasper and Ron Carter, a lot of people. But we had a great time, saw some great, great music, and had a great time in Amsterdam and Rotterdam. All right, we're going to play actually one more.